Okay, good afternoon all. Welcome back to YAG. It's been a while since we've gathered together to study the Lord's Word from the book of Ecclesiastes with Pastor Mark. You know, I really like how the lessons taught have been helpful in making me to pause and consider how I've been approaching life and to evaluate the place of faith in my perspective towards life as well. Today, it's my privilege to share some of these reflections with you. From Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, where it reads, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and a day of death than the day of one's birth." Now, when Pastor Mark first taught from this text, I felt that it wasn't hard to recognize or appreciate the value of having a good reputation. Naturally, people with a bad name do garner animosity. We see all the time, right, on forums, on Reddit, and they become examples of what not to be. While people with an honorable name, they do garner respect and inspiration. Part of the reason why we name our son Timothy was not just because we like that it means honoring God, right? But also because we admire the life that Timothy led. He had a good reputation, for he was well spoken of by the brethren at Lystra and Iconium, as mentioned in Acts 16. You know, as I pondered over how this lesson of a good name was applicable to me, I'm conscious that a bad name is not limited to just acts of crime alone. It could take many forms and could even arise from our weaknesses. If we are observed or known to be someone angsty all the time, being repeatedly impatient, easily frustrated, or careless with our words, or even not being open to corrections, this could very well be our bad name too. Well, since a teen, if you can see the next slide, if any of my family and friends had to mention someone who is always late, it would be me, right? This is definitely something I'm not proud of. Well, let me ask you if you know that there's a maximum travel time allowed on the MRT system of 2 hours. Do you know that? If you take longer than that, you will be rejected at the gantry. Well, I didn't know. Until one day, my friend who waited in the MRT for me could not tap out. Yeah. So, you know, that was how bad. Those were my younger days. And you know, friends would purposely text a separate meeting time for me just so we could, you know, meet at a supposed meeting time. Such was the extent of my bad reputation. How is it like today? I would like to think that the situation is not as bad as before since coming to know the Lord. But you know, bad habits, they do die hard. 5 minutes late may not be as late as 2 hours, but it is still late. I'm still learning to be more consistent with being on time, and I thank God for how He has helped me to recognize more clearly that there are negative impacts and consequences if this remains a mark in my life. I would not be setting a good example, for one, of how we ought to regard people's time to my son Timothy. It would affect my testimony to my family and friends, of whom I hope to reach out to. My effectiveness as a servant of the Lord would also be affected. A bad name is difficult to read, especially when it has been so much a part of your life. You know, can you imagine when Charles went to my parents asking if he could propose to me? Their response wasn't that of, "You sure you care for my daughter Ansley or not?" But rather, "Hey, Ansley's very slow, you know, always late. You sure you can tahan or not?" Yeah. But we've come a long way. You know, Charles has been most patient and gracious as I learned to overcome this problem of lateness. You know, apart from practical steps like waking up earlier, planning my outfit the night before, etc., turning to the Lord and His Word have really revealed to me that it's never just about the act of being late. You know, 2 Timothy 2:22 states, "Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace." As I focus and pursue these aspects, I began to recognize that timeliness is an expression of faith. It is only right that I honor the time I agree to meet. And loving my family and friends means respecting and having proper regard for their time as well. And along the way, the Lord would also reveal to me the deeper sin problems in my life that I'll need to address too. Well, the song we are going to sing is Grace. You know, whether our struggles are similar or not, you know, may this song encourage us all to persevere in seeking the Lord's guidance as we become more mindful of the lives that we lead, that our footsteps may be kept faithful. And may we also not lose heart when we find ourselves faltering, knowing that we can lean in on the Lord's grace and faithfulness even more. Let's sing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ains, for sharing so candidly. Thank God for His work in your life and to see the change. And really, it's just so wonderful to be able to see Lord's work in each and every one of our lives. Pray, and then we can begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for the way in which you continue to lead us and bless us and work in our lives. We recognize that there are still things in our lives that needs changing. We pray that you continue through your word, that you will enlighten us, that you will continue to guide us and bless us, Lord. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, it's been a while since we last met. Let's review a little bit, chapter 8. And we were looking at, if you are a man of wisdom, it will be reflected on your face. There will be joy in more ways than one. We also talk about leadership, what kind of leadership that we ought to have, kind of leader that is truly wise and being able to discern things. Now we're going to go on to verse 6 onwards. And today we, as much as we talk about rulers being wise and discerning, faithful and blameless, I think one of the key things about our lives, about whether it's leadership or not, it's a question of decisions that we make. And there are two things that we want to think about. One is a question of time, and the other being judgment. Right? And, okay, let's look at verse 6. And he says, because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. Now, what are we talking about? See, concerning every matter, and that's what we are going to focus on, is that while you make certain decisions, much of it is out of your control. Meaning, you don't know how things will turn out. And therefore, the question of time and judgment will be part of this understanding that we need. Meaning, time will tell. Right? It's only through the passage of time that you will see whether what you have decided upon will come to be wise or not. Right? And we want to be able to think this through. Right? I mean, whatever it is that you decide on, nobody can predict how things will turn out. The outcome of a matter, right? Every matter, there is a time, and then there is a judgment. Meaning, only through time, then you can determine, discern, using judgment. So this is not about God's judgment, it's about your judgment. To be able to see whether your choice has been wise or not. It is whether it's wrong or right, and so on. This is the fact of life. That's our understanding of time and judgment. Right? okay, you look at, since we talk about rulers, you talk about Trump and all the leaders, Israel, the Middle East, they've come up with this peace deal, right? First phase, more or less, it's still ongoing, but going beyond whether Hamas will do certain things, whether Israel will do certain things, is left to be seen. You don't know. So a lot of decisions that are made, whether at the national level, whether it is a personal level, it all will come out to be determined in time. Part of it is hindsight. Part of it is wisdom that is learned along the way. But this time and judgment thing is something for us to consider. Right? And then it goes on to say that, right, though the misery of man increases greatly. And part of the problem, how come there's misery? Part of the problem is that you don't know. You don't know how things would turn out. Solomon, he didn't know how many things would turn out. Whether it's about himself as a ruler, whether it's about his children, and so on. And that is the anguish of man. Oftentimes, you cannot be absolutely sure or certain how things will turn out, how a certain matter will play out. And that is the reality of life. That is something that nobody knows. Only God knows. And it's something for us to discover along the way. Right? It's only through time. If you choose somebody and you say, okay, I'm going to get married to this person. Right? Time will only tell whether you made the right choice or not. Hopefully, you have made the right choice when you get married. Right, Joe? Right? Since you are the one going to get married soon. Right? That's something that you will have to realize in time. Right? Who got married this year? Think here, huh? Okay? So far? Huh? You mean sometime, that's right. That's what I'm asking you. But it's still very early times, right? It's only a few months and right? So yeah, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. If it's still okay, well, okay, good, not too bad. 15, 20, wow. Right? And you know, you hear of people after so many years of getting married, right? 30 years, and then they still end up getting divorced. You ask yourself, how come? They do. That's the reality of life. And then you realize, wow, it's very tough. So a lot of times frustration comes because you have no control. And that is the problem with men. They get frustrated, they get angry, they get upset because they have no control over many matters of life. You can plan, you can determine, you can decide. Even, for instance, work, right? You choose a job, you move from one job to another, hoping that the grass is greener on the other side. But it may or may not happen. And oftentimes, reality is such. You can start off, you go to another job, you start out, the boss is good, colleagues are good, everything is good. And then your boss decides, okay, I'm going to leave the workplace, you know, the company. And then you get another boss who turns out to be not so good. And things begin to change. That is the reality of life. You don't know. Everything that you look at, even when you have children, that is the reality. How would they turn out? You also don't know. So that is the difficulty that Solomon has. Look at verse 7. He says, for he does not know what will happen. So who can tell when it will occur? We don't know. That is the difficulty of life. You don't know how things, you cannot predict the future. You have no way of fathoming what will happen. No matter how much Solomon will try, No matter what kind of wisdom you search for, no one can tell. There are possible outcomes, there are possibilities, but in the end, there is just uncertainty. Right? So this is something that we already see a number of times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's review a little bit. Let's go back to chapter 1. So Solomon wanted to find out things. He pursued different things. And he recognizes he cannot know everything. So for instance, look at chapter 1, verse 1. What profit has a man for all his labor in which he toils under the sun? What profit? He recognizes you can work very hard. Things may not turn out the way you hope it to be. And that is a reality. Right? In verse 17, I'm just going to highlight a few for us to just review. In verse 17, he says, "And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive this also is grasping for the wind." So you can pursue wisdom. End of the day, you also end up with madness, folly, futility. Chapter 2, verse 1. Right? He pursued pleasure. "I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, but surely this also was vanity." You can go and seek any kind of pleasure. End of the day, what is that all about? Right? And then in chapter 2, verse 18. "Then I hated all my labor in which I toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool." See, all the work that you're doing now, right? Whether you stay on, you move on to a next level, you go on to another company, all the work that you have done, how do you know whether the person would continue what you're doing, take on and further it, or nobody knows what is going to happen next. And that is a reality. And then you come to chapter 3, verse 21. "Who knows the spirit of the sons of men which goes upward and the spirit of the animal which goes down the earth to the earth?" We don't know. I mean, of course, at that point in time, that Solomon, he had very limited knowledge. And then verse 22, "So I perceive that nothing is better than a man should rejoice in his own works, for this is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him?" And that is the reality. The future. What will happen after this? So how? Right? And I mean, we've been through this a number of times already, but this is something that we see coming up again and again and again. So how do you face the uncertainties of life? How would you see it? Okay, Cheryl, what do you think? Yeah, the mic. Think about it for a while. How do you see uncertainties? Are you comfortable with your uncertainties in the first place?
I think maybe for a while, like especially in the work context, uncertainties would be very yeah. troubling.
Correct.
But I think after a while, I've also come to realize that maybe sometimes in the work context, uncertainties, or rather, I personally crave certainty for my own maybe reasons. Mm. Like you want a certain progression timeline.
Sure.
You want a certain thing.
Yeah, precisely. You part of it is also expectations, right? As you say. So we match it with expectations, with your plans, and so on, right? This is our own understanding, but yet, so much and no more. We all are very limited in terms of our understanding. Right? So how? You try, okay, wow. Automatic. Next. What do you think?
I deal with uncertainties on a daily basis, both at work and at home. especially at home nowadays.
Yeah, at home, more at home than work, right?
Yeah, I think work-wise, I think is with our limited wisdom, we tend to think of like contingency plans on like dealing with
uncertainties. Yeah, okay.
Plan A to plan Z.
Correct.
To the nth number of detail, whatever can go wrong, we just
plan. Yeah.
If cannot go wrong, then we just...
Because you are okay. Army guy, you see. Yeah, I understand. That's your... And most army guys tend to go that way. You have... Because that's how things are, right? You got plan A, plan B, plan C, and all the contingencies. And well, that is, you know, perspective. The question is also, can we have all the different contingencies A to Z? Also?
Yeah, but most of the time, we go, don't even go to the contingencies because they just go completely different from what we expect.
Correct, precisely, you see. And there's still uncertainties that come about. Okay, let's ask the soon-to-be married. You got a question? Yeah, okay. Saved by the question.
Pastor Mark. So I think in the context of work, how do if we have this limited knowledge of, you know, what is to come, especially in our workplace, then how do we approach advice given like from people when it comes to like, oh, this job is good because I think I enjoy it, I enjoy the boss, versus saying like, oh, this job is not good because maybe I don't enjoy the work, I don't enjoy the boss. But then it's just what people are saying, but you don't know what actually happens until we actually go into it or go into the job, right?
Yeah, so there are two parts here, right? So can you find out knowledge of, say, the job and so on? So the answer is yes. There's no problem with that. Meaning, if I want to find out a little bit about the environment, the bosses, the colleagues, the culture, by all means, find out. So I have no problems with knowledge. As much as you can find out, please do so. I don't have a problem with that. And I think you should. Your research, by all means. Right? And that helps because then you know with your eyes open, this is what you're getting yourself into. Or I mean, you're entering into. But yet, nonetheless, there are still uncertainties. In reality, what works for one may not work for you. What works for you may not work for another person. So you're right. End of the day, the level of uncertainty will still be there no matter what. So we need to go beyond. I'm not trying to give you certainty. That's not the point that I'm trying to make here. It is how do you learn to cope with that uncertainty. You follow?
So in a sense, are we supposed to be embracing this uncertainty, but in a sense, embracing but in the eyes of the Lord, like, you know, despite this uncertainty, can we still rely on God's
leading. Correct. So we take it from a far more, from God's standpoint. If we see it from God's standpoint, so what we are trying to do here is that at the end of the day, we must go back to this idea of time and judgment. Right? Sometimes things may not play out as you say, right? You got contingency, you got plans, you got expectations, but it doesn't play out as what we would expect it to be. So then, how do we look at time then? How do we look at this whole question of judgment? Because a lot of times, when we go by our own judgments, we end up with limitations that causes us to be in anguish, in things didn't turn out the way I hoped it to be, and so on. So what I'm trying to say is that we need to go beyond ourselves, our usual thinking, and really be able to say, okay, I really need to see time and judgment really from God's standpoint rather than our own personal standpoint. Can you see where I'm going with this? Right? And I think this is important. Let's since we are Ecclesiastes 3, let me show you what I'm trying to drive at. Right? Okay, so you look at verse, going back to this verse that we are very familiar with. Right? What profit has the, verse 9, what profit has the worker from all that in which he labors? I've seen the God-given tasks with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. So we see time from God's standpoint. Right? It may not be beautiful at this point in time. But in time, He will make all things beautiful. So our understanding of timing must go beyond our own personal limitations. We all tend to limit, we all have confines, we all have our own plans and timetable. Right? As what Cheryl said, you have certain expectation. I need to be promoted in this point. Everybody is going a certain trajectory. This is the common way. If I don't get that promotion over a certain time, means somehow, you know, I'm disappointed. But why are we seeing it that way? Why don't we see it from God's standpoint instead? Right? Same with, so it goes on to say, right? He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. So then we need to be able to understand, why are we taking it? He talked about eternity. Why can't we see it from a long-term view of things? See, the question of time coming back in, and see it as God's plan rather than our plan. So time and judgment. So our judgment then is somewhat changed. Our judgment is no longer about how man sees ourselves, others, the circumstances that we are in. Our judgment changes to how God will see things. You follow? So we are having a bit of a paradigm shift from a far more fiscal, secular, common perspective to something more spiritual, something more higher, something more according to God's divine ways. Okay. Yeah, good. Ying? You see the difference in how we want to approach it? Yeah, back to the man who's going to get married. Yeah. I mean, how do you see this from a standpoint of marriage to come? I mean, your wedding and future and seriously.
So actually, it aligns with how Ling and I started our own premarital counseling with Pastor.
Yeah.
I think one of the very early concerns we raised to Pastor was in our immediate vicinity, like with within our circle of friends, actually there's a lot of people we know that are divorced.
Yeah.
And it's very yeah. scary.
Yeah, you're right.
And we asked him, you know, how do we build that sense of certainty and trust? I mean, some of them are, you know, they say they're Christian also, right? So it's very easy to build a family, starting bond and all that. But and Pastor's a very clear word to us was, you know, we tend to be very Singaporean.
Yeah.
And he was like, y'all two think about it. Y'all very Singaporean. Then we're like, yeah, we are. Because there's just worry, there's just concern. And we see all the things around us. Like it's most concerning. But then he also encouraged us really to see that at the end of the day, it's the Lord that is
the
one.
So just to clarify, what do you mean by being Singaporean?
Just to clarify. I think just worrying, always worry.
Always worry, la.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the
I mean, and it's also very easy to do so when you look at your surroundings and you see one by one couples just...
Correct.
Like this.
So right? The concern is because you see others, it's happening to them, it might happen to us, kind of reality.
Yes, and how do we hedge against this and all that? He said, that's not the right mindset to take.
Yeah, sure.
And he said, and I guess that brings back to the idea of uncertainty that you bring about.
Yeah,
Because then, if we are just more concerned about the things around us and we are being affected by that, then where is the mindset of, where's the focus on God that is the one that is building at the end of the day, not you?
Yeah, precisely the point.
Yeah.
You're right. And you know, this is not the first time I'm hearing about this. I've heard those who are slightly older than you, their peers, many of them are also getting divorced. Someone who has a group of girlfriends, I mean, this is one of our ladies, and she said, I have three, you know, very good friends that I'm always with, two are divorced. That's the kind of reality that you are facing today. And the thing is that, yeah, that is reality, but it doesn't have to be that should be something that we get overly worried about. Because this is your life. This is your marriage. This is what you make out of it. And especially when you look at it from God's standpoint, things are very different. Right? You're right. You go back to Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. That's the problem. So the Lord has to build the house. He has to create that foundation. Problem is that, one, they have not created a good, strong foundation. They have not learned how to build upon it. They have not learned how to understand and communicate with each other well enough. You have all kinds of problems as a result. Right? So, and therefore, we need to see it from God's standpoint, you see. Even though you have those uncertainties, if we bring in God and we trust God in the midst of those uncertainties, even though you don't have all the answers, and we don't, how things will turn out, we don't. But can we learn to trust God above all these things? The answer is yes. Now, let's move on a little bit to verse 8 now. Go back to Ephesians 8 and verse 8. No one has power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. So that is impending death, and you have no power, in that sense, over when the Spirit would go. You have no power to retain the Spirit. If it's time, it's time. No one has the power in the day of death. Right? You cannot prevent death from coming. It will happen. I don't know whether you've seen those videos, whether true or not, we don't know. But sometimes there are these videos where the old person is lying, she or he is lying on the bed. Then they say, oh, can you see the spirit leaving the body? And you have like a light, you know, flying above, and then after that it goes. Don't know how true, don't know whether it is Photoshop or whatever, right? Or nowadays they have all these fake things going on, right? But of course, I don't believe in these things, but the thing is that they have it, right? And they say, oh, this is, you can see? Can you see the spirit? Right? But the fact remains that you cannot prevent the spirit from leaving when it's time, right? And that is something that we will have to see, right? And we have another death. Lian Hing's mother just passed away. And we are going to conduct the funeral on Monday, actually on Wednesday, but the body will be here on Monday. So again, that is a very strong reminder of the frailty of life. And the thing is that it goes on to say that there is no release from that war. Never look at death as a friend. Death must be seen as an enemy. And we are at war with death. So never see it as anything less. Right? So that's why it says here that that no one has power in the day of death, and there's no release from that war. Many are fighting with death. And death must be fought till the end. It's not that you don't, accept death or anything like that. So one of our members in Bethel, I don't know whether you know her, Auntie Mary Gunn, and she is she's found out that she has cancer, and she is going to not look at any treatment, and she's given a number of months to live. So I really appreciate that. That because at her age, you know, she's decided that I'd rather go back to be with the Lord. But yet at the same time, it is not something that you just accept just like that. Right? Death is something that will have to be dealt with in time. That is reality. So the war continues, right? And he goes on to say, and weakness will not deliver those who are given to it. Meaning, if you are wicked, you are involved in death. Meaning, you kill, you cause the death of others. Your weakness cannot deliver you from death. You, as the one who is wicked, will also succumb to death one day. No matter how evil you are, evil will never prevail over death. That is what Solomon is trying to say here. Okay? Any questions about this? Then let's move on to verse 9. And it says, all this I've seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own. So Solomon ends, this section with this idea of applying the heart to every work, right? To show the kind of work, time will show the kind of work that you have done, and it will be judged, right? Solomon's rule over others will also be judged. He may have started well. We know how he started. He was wise. He applied that wisdom in how he ruled. But along the way, things began to not be good for him. In fact, he began to rule in such a way that it did not turn out well for him. And he, basically what that means, he would rule to his own hurt. So it's not just getting the task done. We talk about God-given tasks, but also not how you fulfill that task. Sorry, it's not just about fulfilling the task. It's about how you do it that matters. It's not just ruling over the citizens. It's how you rule, because that will also be judged one day. For Solomon, right, part of his problem was that along the way, he began to tax heavily the people. So this is something that we read about in 1 Kings 12. Where his son Rehoboam took over, and then Jeroboam was a servant, and he went to King Rehoboam and said, Solomon, your father has taxed us heavily. We are on, you know, we have a heavy yoke. And he was asking whether that could be addressed. But instead of helping them, they got advice from his own peers. He went to make it even heavier. Remember the story? And that tells us how Solomon ruled in such a way that it was to his own hurt. That's the danger. So it's not just about how you work. It's not just about how you do your things, right? It really matters who you are and what that will be judged in time in more ways than one. Okay? So it's important for us to take time to think this through. There is that uncertainty, and how we manage it, or maybe the word is not manage, but how do we cope with that reality is something for us to think about. Now, when you look at this idea of death, then we have, of course, ultimately the victory. So while in life, we will continue to fight, but ultimately, we will have the victory, right? Because of Christ's resurrection. That's something that we read about in 1 Corinthians 15. So when you look at life and when you look at death, there is that concern, there is that uncertainty, but yet, how do we cope with that reality? How do we bring God into the picture? So there are two things that I just like to highlight. This, which is the Word of God, okay, when we talk about the plan of God, there is what we call one, a revealed plan. Meaning, you can know for certain that there is life after death. We have the resurrection. So while there is that certain uncertainty, we have that revealed plan that God has given to us so that we can be able to understand that and have faith and trust in that reality. You follow what I'm trying to say? But yet, at the same time, when you look at life, where you have still things that are unexpected, plans that go on, it is still being able to recognize that we want to bring in God, even though there is the uncertainty, but nonetheless, there is enough for us to work with to find hope and trust. What I'm trying to say is that the Word of God gives us a certain amount of understanding concerning God's plan, God's way of doing things. So one of this, when it regards to death, there is a resurrection. When it regards to the uncertainty, there's still His eternal plan, right? And there is still His promise, assurance that He will make things beautiful. And that gives us that hope and trust that we need. You see what I'm trying to drive at? And that helps us to move forward. That helps us to cope. That helps us to go beyond our own so-called expectations, plans, contingencies. Yes, there's still a certain amount of uncertainty. But there's enough for us to work with that can help our faith, our hope, our trust in the Lord to go forward. Right? Okay? And I hope that's something for us to okay, any Sham? Okay, any question? You look intrigued.
No questions, but I guess some reflection. Yeah. I think just listening to what you have shared, what really comes to mind is Psalm 16 for me,
yeah,
about how I've set the Lord always before me because, yeah, He's my right hand, I shall not be moved. And I think that's something I'm also learning to hold fast to, right? Because as long as you follow after the Lord, no matter what decision you make, it will always be okay because you're walking with the Lord. Yeah. So I think finding a comfort and hope in that. Lah.
Mm. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, Psalm 16 is something you can work with and being able to see. See, end of the day is how do we bring in God into the picture? How do we involve God into the picture? When you bring in God with all His assurances, His promises. So what I was trying to drive at is that you have His promises, which is what you were referring to, the many that we can work with, but ultimately, it is something that He is giving in terms of assurances, and really being able to help us cope with that reality. Okay? And, you know, going back to this idea. So then in time, you see how these things will play out rather than. You will have that kind of judgment to be able to see, okay, this is how we are able, you know, to see the blessings of the Lord. and really being able to understand His leading, His plans, and guidance in more ways than one. Okay, something for you to think about as we go into our groups and really being able to take time to ponder this even more. Okay, let's pray and then we can go into our groups. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank You that in the midst of our uncertainties, and there are many, whether it's regards to our work, our family life, our relationships, we pray, Lord, that You will continue to give us the kind of perspective that we need, especially from Your Word, from Your promises, from the way in which You would always help us see things from Your standpoint, from the plans that You have for us, being able, Lord, to see how You will bring all things together in the most beautiful way. Help us, Lord, to go beyond ourselves, because oftentimes we are just so caught up with our perspective, our own personal agenda and plans, and sometimes we find it very hard to go beyond these things. We pray that You will continue to lead us and guide us and bless us even as we go into our groups. Bless this offering for Your work in more ways than one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.